This is Doug Miller. Well, the book of Job is like a great celestial cosmic courtroom. So, shall we hear again a little cross-examination from the prosecution? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue. We are privileged and happy, delighted, believe me, to be back with you one more time this side of eternity with this Word of God in hand. And we are looking at a man named Job who is being pummeled. And he has, of course, an unseen enemy, Satan, who has undertaken to destroy him because Satan hates him. Satan has three emissaries that are identified as Job's friends who have come to take his part, Satan's part, as the accusers, the prosecution. And Job has a defender, the Almighty God, who knows very well what Job is and who Job is, and who, for the purposes of blessing Job, blessing him, mind you, has allowed him to go through some of the worst trials that I can ever imagine. And the blessing is on the other side. You know, I think in looking at Job of a passage in Isaiah, where Isaiah writes to the children of Israel, when you pass through the waters, they will not overflow you. Isaiah didn't say, if you pass through the waters. He said, when. You're going through them, and I'm going through them, and we're all going through them. But the Lord is right in there with them. Now bring along your Bibles and open up to the 8th chapter of Job, and let's see what we have here. There is great blessing in this. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. You are, after all, the only advertisers we have out there. And for that reason, we depend on you. Please pray for Dialogue. We need your support, and we need your help, and we cannot go on and have any kind of ministry of any value here without your prayers. So write Dialogue down on your little prayer list and take us before the Lord. Pray that I will have insight into this word. Pray that the Lord will open my mouth to speak the truth. Pray that he will guard the door of my lips, that I will not offend or stumble, but that I will build up. And pray that this word will go forth with power. Also, we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. And if you would, you don't like to write with a pen and pencil, you can always email. That's just perfectly fine with us. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. DialogueMinistries.org, and you can pull that down. And as with anything else that we've got out there, there are no strings attached. Everything is free of charge. the Lord and the Lord's people have graciously provided the means for us to go on with this ministry, and interested parties have pitched in, so it's free. If you want to talk to me on the telephone, that's fine. Call me up. Area code 405-535-9089. 405-535-9089. You will get a message, and you leave leave a recording, record your message, and I'll get back with you. Okay, 8th chapter of Job, and here we get the prosecution again. Now, remember, you've heard me say this before on here, and of course, if you've been listening to Dialogue for any length of time, you know that I repeat myself a lot, and I'm going to go on doing that, because repetition is, you know, how things get learned, and I intend to keep saying them. The word devil is a Greek word. It means the accuser. The word Satan is a Hebrew word. It means the opponent, the opposition, the adversary, perhaps. And all through this Bible, where we see the devil operating at all, he is operating more often than not as some kind of accuser. He is accusing the brethren night and day before the throne. He does not believe in the efficacy of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. He does not believe in salvation by grace through faith. He is accusing us, and he's accusing you. And occasionally, he can go beyond just accusation. That's how this started. And occasionally, God will allow the enemy even to go farther than that, as he has with Job. If you've read, been in Job at all, if you've spent some time with us in it, you know what happened to Job. He had everything that he had taken away. His children were killed, and this was the devil. The devil smote him with boils from head to foot. But to rub salt in Job's wounds, the devil sends these three guys along. We heard from Eliphaz the Temanite. And we've got in in chapter 8, verse 1, we have Bildad the Shuhite. Now, let's see what he has to say, because I can assure you that what he has to say is not going to be anything that Job wants to hear. It's just not. And it's kind of interesting. Bildad's name means son of strife. And Shuha, the city that he comes from, means depression. So, I mean, here is the son of strife from depression. Now, what's in a name? I don't know, but I think it is more than just interesting that that's what his name is, and this is where he comes from. And let me tell you what my experience about human beings are. I don't think at this stage of my sojourn that I am under any illusions about what people are. I hope that I'm not. And that includes myself. We were born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. And time again, I've seen it. And I think you probably have too. People tend to run in packs. And people will zero in on the weak individual, the hurting individual, and they will destroy that individual. If you say, oh, well, you've got a bad way of looking at these things. Man, where did you get such an opinion? Just from watching? I can remember back when I was in grade school, we had a kid in our class, and he was kind of a different kid. And when I say different, I don't mean different bad. He was smaller than the other boys, and he was kind of quiet, And he didn't go in for a lot of roughness, and he didn't play ball with us, and he just kind of liked to be quiet and be alone with himself, and he was extremely intelligent. Extremely intelligent, brilliant. And for some reason, the boys started picking on him and started bullying him, and it became unmerciful. Now, if anyone ever talks to you about the innocence of wonderful little children, you had better think, if this is the case, why do we have all this bullying that goes on? Why all the viciousness and the brutality out there in our schools? I saw this young man later on. It's kind of interesting. I saw him at a class reunion. This was a high school class reunion. Yeah, I first knew him in grade school, but we went to high school together. And he and I talked about this. And I said to him, I have never, from that day to this, been able to believe in the basic goodness of men. That was before I even knew what the Word of God had to say about it. Men are sinners and they are evil, and it doesn't take any time for it to show itself. And I told him this, and I said, I just hope that I didn't take part in any of that. And he said, well, I don't remember you taking part in it. But then there was more to be said, wasn't there? While I may not have taken part in it, I didn't do anything to stop it either, did I? I allowed it to go on. I didn't side in with him and tell the guys to leave him alone. Now, what does that make me? Just as guilty as the rest of them. These friends of Job that we have here are bullies. They are spiritual and emotional and psychological bullies. Here are guys who were very vastly inferior to Job in so many ways. God did not say of them that they are righteous. Job was the most righteous man on the earth, according to God. Here are individuals who are not worthy to carry Job's shoes, and they are bullies, and they are after him here, and they are enjoying, I am persuaded, every minute of this. Let's see what Bildad, the old Shuhite here, the son of strife from depression. How long, verse 1, wilt thou speak these things? And how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? Why are you saying this? Well, come on, Bildad. I can tell you why he's saying these things. He's hurting. He's been knocked down, kicked, and stepped on. You know, Steve Allen used to say, for all of you old enough to remember Steve Allen, Steve used to say, remember, when they knock you down, kick you, step on you, they're only trying to hurt you. Well, yeah, and here these guys are. Brother Dave Gardner's line was, I believe if a man's down, kick him. If he survives it, he's better for it. Well, of course, Steve Allen and Brother Dave were trying to be funny, but these guys here, Bildad and these friends of Job, they're not trying to be funny, but they're sure going to kick him now that he's down, aren't they? Doth God pervert judgment, says Bildad, or doth the Almighty pervert justice? Okay, the answer is no on both counts. But that does not mean that God, in his wisdom, love, mercy, and grace, cannot allow someone whom he loves to suffer. But Bildad doesn't understand any of this. Look at verse 4. If thy children have sinned against him, and he have cast them away for their transgression, if thou wouldest seek unto God betimes and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. Now notice what Bildad's doing here. He's got a series of statements here that are hypotheticals. If then, if you were pure and upright, if you were really seeking to God, if you were really praying to God, well, now look at this. In this case, every one of these things can be answered yes, yes, yes. Maybe his children had sinned, but Job's children weren't taken away for their transgression because they had sinned. Job offered sacrifices for them and prayed for them. Do you think God didn't hear that? That's not why they were taken away. Look at this. Is Job not, verse 5, is Job not seeking God? Is he not making a supplication to the Almighty? Verse 6, is he not pure and upright? God says that he was. That was God. Well, if this is so, surely now he would awake for thee. Now, well, this is an interesting and a blasphemous and a snide, terrible suggestion. Is God asleep? What does he mean, God would awake for you? What kind of a statement is that? God is awake for Job. And God is certainly going to do everything that Bildad is talking about here in his own time. Now, you know, once again, I feel like, I know that there have been, I've been through bad times. I'm sure that anyone listening to me can look back and say, yes, I have too. And maybe some of you are going through bad times right now. And maybe all of us are going to go through bad times tomorrow. I don't know. I know this. Job is not going through what he is going through because of some sin that he has committed. Although Job has a great deal to learn about God that he doesn't know. And when I say that Job hasn't, may not have sinned, if there is a sin that Job has committed, and Dr. Scofield goes to this in the notes of his wonderful Bible. If you don't have a Scofield Bible, I'll pray for you. But Dr. Scofield hits the nail right on the head. He says the sin of Job is self-righteousness. And that, I think, is true. But Job doesn't realize it and recognize it at this point. But he's going to. But look, I mean, this guy, Bildad, he doesn't know a thing about what he's talking about. He is merely talking platitudes once again. Look at verse 8. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee and utter words out of their heart? Well, I don't know what Bildad exactly has in mind here, do you? But I think, if I read this correctly, that what he is suggesting is that, you know, the fathers, and he is going to appeal to the wisdom of those who have lived before, that these fathers have found out that everything that he, Bildad, is saying is correct, that he's got it from them. That, you know, if you live good and do the right thing, everything's going to be rosy, and the very fact that Job is having all these troubles suggests that he is evil and wicked. I guess that's what he's coming from here. That's the way I read it anyway. And he is absolutely wrong. He could not be wronger. Look at verse 11. Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? Whilst it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. What is this man saying? What is he talking about? Well, here you have it. Here you have it. He is getting, I mean, he doesn't exactly say to Job, you are a hypocrite, but he might as well. He might as well. He is saying it without really saying it. And of course, this, once again, this is right out of the pit. friend of mine, who's long since gone home to be with the Lord, Carlton Jones was his name, said one time, he said, I was walking along one day, and it was almost like an audible voice. Jones, you're not saved at all. You're nothing but a stinking old hypocrite. Now, it wasn't an audible voice, but he said this, and of course, Carlton was a godly man. Certainly an inspiration to this guy. And to think that, and he said he stopped a minute right in his tracks, and he said, where'd that come from? Was that from you, Lord? And a verse of scripture came to mind about how you're saved by grace through faith, by believing the gospel. Then old Carlton said, oh, well, that was from the pit. Well, yeah, it was from the pit, and so is what Bildad is saying here. Now, once again, that story about Carlton, you've probably heard me tell it before, but it illustrates perfectly what is going on here. Look at verse 14. Whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. He is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the place of stones. If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Well, Bildad, you know what you're doing? You're condemning yourself. Because if there is a hypocrite here, it is you, Bildad. You, mouthing words, platitudes that you heard someone else say. You, assuming in your shallowness and your stupidity and your immaturity that you know what God is doing with a man God has declared righteous. You're the problem, Bildad. Now, I want to tell you something. The Lord Jesus said, and it's a verse all of you know, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured again unto you. And the rest of that chapter, as you read on down through chapter 7 of Matthew, it doesn't say that we shouldn't judge. But what it does say is you had better judge yourself first. Judgment, you'd better begin with yourself. You had better look at yourself. Bildad is the hypocrite. He is pretending to things that he knows nothing about. And everything that he is saying is absolutely not true. Look at verse 20. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers. Well, you're assuming something, man. Who says that God has cast Job away? Who says that the evildoers are being helped? God hasn't cast Job away, but God, for his purposes and for Job's blessing, is allowing Job temporarily to go through some difficult times. Friends, listen to me. God loves you. You can believe it. Hang on to that blessed hope and his promises. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.